I'd like you to go to 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5 and verse 23. And I'm going to pray once more. Father, we thank you that today we will receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our souls. Thank you, Lord, that this word of yours is alive and it's powerful. And Lord, it can change our lives. It can sustain us. It can provide for us. So, Father, we thank you for your word today and the anointing by the Holy Spirit through which it comes. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul says this, and he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, it's not a coincidence that the Holy Spirit inspired them to write this way. And he said that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. And I want you to know that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. All right, now go over with me to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And I just want you to see something here. It says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." I want you to notice how the soul and the spirit are together and the joints and the marrow are together. And only the word of God can be able to distinguish between each of those. But you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And your spiritual life is a third of your life, but it is the most important part of your life. Your spiritual life is eternal. Your body is temporal. Amen? And eventually, you know, your biological clock is not winding up, it's winding down. Amen? But your, you know, even though the outward man perishes, the inward man, did you know that you are an inward man? When this body is gone, you are still going to exist. All right? Because when the person dies, they leave their body, and then they are present to be absent from the bodies to be present with the Lord. So when you leave your body at death, you know, you are still alive. The real you, the spiritual man, the hidden man of the heart, the Bible calls him. And but you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. All right? And you become aware of your spiritual life when you are born again. That's really when, you know, you've always been a spirit, but you become more aware of it when you get born again. And when a person gets born again, does their hair color change? Do their eyes change? Do their looks change? But what changes about a person when they're born again? They're changed on the inside. They become alive to God. See, on the inside, before we knew Christ Jesus, we were separated from the life of God. We were actually dead, but because we get born again, life comes into us, and now we have a connection with the Father, all right? So, you know, there's a blessing to develop and maintain your spiritual life. You are a spirit, and you have a spiritual life, and your spiritual life is very real, and you've got to develop it. You've got to maintain it, and, you know, there's blessings that come with developing the spiritual life. And as I said last week, I'm going to repeat these definitions. What is spirituality? You know, it's the disposition or internal condition of man when in such a state as prepares them to recognize and properly appreciate spiritual realities. That's what the New Unger's Bible Dictionary tells us. Nelson's Bible Dictionary says it's a sensitivity or commitment to religious values or to sacred matters. A person is spiritual because of the indwelling presence and the power of the Holy Spirit and the spiritual gifts which he imparts to every believer. Another one tells us that it's when we're vitalized by the divine spirit and made alive unto God. And we said last week we were defining some things that a spiritual person does and some things that a spiritual person is. All right? We have to make this distinction. If we're going to develop our spiritual life, we've got to understand the difference. We've got to understand what it means to be spiritual. Thank God for the Word of God. Aren't you glad for the Word? God clearly defines things in His Word. And God simplifies things. We tend to make things complex, don't we? I mean, really, the plan of salvation is a very simple plan. But for some people, they just make it so hard. All right? And we said last week that a spiritual person displays and demonstrates spiritual fruit and godly attitudes. You know, how you act and how you behave says a lot as to whether or not you're natural or spiritual. You know, the Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit, 9 different fruit: love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, long-suffering, temperance. You know, the Bible says, against such there is no law. And when you get born again, those are things that we need to start displaying and developing in our life because we are spiritual beings. That's a spiritual side of life. Now, just like with natural fruit, how does natural fruit come about? You got to plant trees, right? And these trees grow and they produce this fruit: orange trees, apple trees, lemon trees, banana trees, all right? Well, the seed is God's Word. And when the seed gets planted in our hearts, we should now start developing and cultivating spiritual fruit. We ought to become people who love. We ought to love God and we ought to love one another. It's a distinguishing factor between the natural and the spiritual. And then we looked in Galatians 6, and we found out that a spiritual person restores a fallen brother. He says, "You which are spiritual, if you see a brother overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual should go to restore him in the spirit of meekness." Now, just because someone falls, you may attempt to restore them, but they may not want to be restored. You know, the Bible does tell us to walk away from every brother that walks disorderly among you. And then we learned about that a spiritual person receives divine revelation from God's Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The things that God has planned for us, they don't come by natural sight, they don't come by natural hearing, but they're revealed to us by the Spirit of God. Amen? So a spiritual person has revelation of insight into the kingdom of God. When you're a spiritual person, God's going to show you things about Him. He's going to show you things about His kingdom. He's going to show you about how His kingdom works. You know, the whole point of the Bible, this is God's revelation to man. God revealed Himself within these pages. Jesus was the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. So we get revelation knowledge. Okay? Now go with me to Revelation chapter 1. Notice what John made a decision to do in verse 10. He said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. So when John was in the Spirit, he saw things, didn't he? He heard things, didn't he? Truth was revealed to him, wasn't it? How many of you decided to come into the Spirit today? To hook up with the Holy Spirit. You know, I'll tell you what, the Holy Spirit's moving, but if you don't decide to hook up, he'll move right past you. How did John get in the Spirit? Well, he was exiled to an island called Patmos. All he could do was praise and worship and read some scrolls. Imagine how you could develop your spiritual being if you take away every distraction of life. It's going to take some time to develop your spirit, and guess what? Our spiritual development will continue until Jesus Christ comes. There will never be a person on earth that has so developed spiritually that they're going to remain here. I mean, Enoch, he was pretty spiritually developed, wouldn't you say? The Bible said he walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. He got so spiritual that God said, listen, I need, you know, just come up right here. And one day, you know, Enoch just stepped over into glory. And he left a testimony that he pleased God. You know, a spiritual person pleases God. Well, John was in the Spirit. He was in a place where he was sensitive to spiritual activity. He was open, and he was hearing and seeing things that were taking place in the spirits. You know, when you get in the Spirit, God pulls back the veil of the natural. And because we're spiritual beings, we can choose to get into the Spirit. We can choose to make ourselves available. You know, just like you chose to walk in this building this morning. Amen? When you walked in, now you're in this building, right? Just as you walked in this building, it's just as easy to get into the Spirit. Getting in the Spirit is not a hard thing, it's a heart thing. It's an attitude thing. It's a worship thing. The Bible says when you humble yourself under God's mighty hand, he will exalt you. So I'm ready to get into the Spirit. I'm ready to see things and hear things that are spiritual. Do you realize there is spiritual activity taking place in this room that we can't see? There are angels that we can't see that are moving because angels respond to God's word. There's a Holy Spirit here who works, and while the preaching of the word goes forth, he works on people's hearts, tweaking and adjusting and touching and ministering to. But we can't see it, but there's a whole load of work taking place behind the scenes. But see, when you're a spiritual person, those things become more and more aware to you. And the more yielded you are, the more things that God will let you see. Now, there was a group of Israelites in the wilderness, and I wouldn't call them spiritual. Matter of fact, God said they were stiff-necked, and they always resist the Holy Spirit. Did you know that the Holy Spirit can be resisted? You know, the Bible tells us to quench not the Spirit. You know, there are people that just like to put a wet blanket when the Spirit moves. You know, the Spirit often moves in fire, but they just bring a wet blanket to smother the flames. It could be a wet blanket of religion. Pharisees were religious, but they weren't spiritual. Jesus plainly told a bunch of them that they were whitewashed tombstones. There were Pharisees who believed in Jesus but refused to confess him because they didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue. Let me tell you something. A spiritual person is not afraid to take spiritual risks. In other words, they'll stand up for what is right when it's not popular. All right? Okay. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and let's continue on with finding out what a spiritual person does and what a spiritual person is. Okay? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 9 and verses 11 through 14. Actually, we'll go through 15. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things or your material things? If others of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so has the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live by the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. A spiritual person supports a spiritual work. Do you realize that the Word of God is spiritual food? What kind of price would you put on getting a soul saved? Or getting someone healed? Or getting an addict delivered off their addiction, setting them free? Or getting a spiritual person who's bound by demons, having those demons cast out? Amen? Spiritual people invest in a spiritual work. If someone is sowing to you spiritual things, then you should sow your material things. It's a divine exchange. Amen? And how does a spiritual person support the work of God? Through tithes and through offerings. And really, our giving is worship to God. When you think of giving as worship, it's not so hard. Amen? But we know that in giving, God works through giving, doesn't he? He's the one who established this. When he set up the tribe of Levi, they were the priestly tribe. He gave them no inheritance. He said, I'm going to be your portion. Which is, that's all right with me. If Jesus is my portion, then that means he's my all in all. He's my everything. He's everything I need, everything I want, everything I desire. If I need something, he'll provide it for me. But the Levites were designated by God to receive the tithes and the offerings. And really, if you read Hebrews 7, if you pay a tithe here, he receives it there. Some of you aren't too excited about tithing and offering. It's amazing how when you talk about money, you know, people get this look on their face. Like, you ain't getting my money. Listen, I'm not out to get your money. I'm out to make sure that you get blessed. Amen? Did the Bible say that? Okay. Let's go on to something else. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's go to verse 1. And it says, moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Aren't you glad that God doesn't want you ignorant? How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and all did drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ. A spiritual person eats spiritual food, drinks spiritual drink in order to maintain their spiritual lives. How many of us like to maintain our physical lives? Is there anybody here that never eats anything ever? What happens after so many days, if you don't eat anything, what happens to your body? It gets weak, doesn't it? Now, if you can imagine, if a body gets weak when you don't feed it, imagine what happens to a spirit. When a spirit never eats, now a spirit doesn't eat pizza, It doesn't eat hamburgers. It doesn't eat French fries. It doesn't eat sweet potatoes. It eats the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, if a person never fed their spirit, first of all, if a person never fed their spirit, you would see it on their face. Their spirit man would be starving. And they would display attitudes that are against God more than good attitudes. Amen? So here he said that spiritual water, their spiritual meat is Christ. Amen? And we've got to eat spiritual food. We've got to take in God's word. We've got to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We got to eat spiritual food. You got to maintain your spirit. Your spirit gets hungry just like your body gets hungry. And the only thing that will satisfy your spirit is the Word of God. As you take in the Word, it'll feed your spirit. And you know what? Because our life comes from the Spirit. Genesis 2:7 talks about how when God formed man from the dust of the ground, what did he do? He breathed into man, and what happened? The man became a living being. In other words, the life that we live comes from the Spirit. And if your spirit is weak, if your spirit is sickly, then it's going to affect the physical life. You've got to maintain your spiritual life by eating spiritual food. You've got to be in a place that teaches and preaches the Word of God. Amen? I'm telling you, not every place does this. You're blessed to be able to come here every week and get the Word of God. But I want you to notice something. Look at verse 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, even though they had the opportunity to partake of spiritual food, how does faith come? By hearing what? So if you're not hearing the Word of God, how strong is your faith going to be? And when you go to lift something heavy, you're not going to be able to do it because you haven't developed your faith. See, did he ever say stop hearing God's word? Did he ever say that when you hear this many scriptures, you'll have enough faith? No, we got to keep hearing God's word and hearing God's word and hearing God's word every day, every day, every day. Now, many of us probably eat three meals a day. Do we feed our spirits three times a day? No, because too many times we're more focused on the natural than we are the spiritual. Oh, I've done my Bible reading today. I've done my devotion. Have you ever hungered for a snack in the middle of the day? You're doing whatever, and all of a sudden you get this hunger pain, and you need a snack? Well, what about your spirit? Your spirit could use a good snack, too. Amen? And the good thing about eating spiritual food, it doesn't add anything to it. You know, it doesn't add any excess. You can eat as much spiritual food as you want without any negative result. So as a spiritual person, you're going to eat spiritual food. You're going to drink spiritual drink. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He had a lot to say to the Corinthians about whether or not who's spiritual, didn't he? 1 Corinthians 12. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. How do you not be ignorant of spiritual gifts? What can you do to cure ignorance of spiritual gifts? Study. He lists them right here. You know, as a spiritual person should be aware of the gifts that God's given us. We should know what they are. We should know how to function, because when the Spirit operates them, we ought to be able to hook up with them. Amen? You know, I'm so glad to see that tongues and interpretation have taken off here. Amen? But there's more gifts. There's 9 gifts. Just as much as there is fruit, there is gifts. And God doesn't want us to be ignorant. And then he says, verse 3, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. You can't curse God and be spiritual. It just doesn't mix. It's like oil and water. No matter how much you shake up a jar of oil and water, they are not going to mix. They're going to be separate. And we know that there are 9 gifts. Verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations. The way the gifts show themselves, they're different. Aren't you glad that God has variety? We have a God of variety. He doesn't just do the same religious thing over and over. He just doesn't do the same thing over and over and over again. That's what religion does. But God, our God is alive. He is creative. He is awesome. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which works all in all. But notice verse 7, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. When the Holy Spirit manifests himself, it's for everybody's benefit. So when you hear a tongue and an interpretation, it's so that everybody can benefit. I'm just going to read these. I'm not going to go into much detail about these today. That's another time and another place. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit. Who manages these gifts? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Okay? To another the gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But all these work that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, when a spiritual gift operates, it requires someone to be sensitive to the Spirit in order for the Holy Spirit to use them. You've got to be spiritually minded in order to work with the Holy Spirit, in order to hook up with him so that he can use you. Don't get jealous of how come they're always being used. Well, maybe you just need to become more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Maybe you just need to develop a little bit more. But don't cop an attitude. Look at it as an opportunity to grow and develop. So as a spiritual person, they're not ignorant of spiritual gifts. You got to know something about these gifts. 9 gifts. They're gifts that see, gifts that speak, and gifts that have power. They're divided into 3 categories. Amen? Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I want you to see something about a spiritual person. Ephesians 1 verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with what? All spiritual blessings in who? In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if you are in Christ, how do you get in Christ? By faith, you accept Jesus into your heart. How many have accepted Jesus Christ into their heart? Okay? Then that means that you are not going to be, but you are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. A spiritual man is blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. A spiritual person knows that Jesus is the access to everything that God has. Everything that God wants you to do, everything that God wants you to be, it's all in Christ Jesus. And when you get in Christ, also getting in Christ is getting in the Word, isn't it? If you want to become a spiritual person, the language of the Spirit is the Word of God. The more Word that you have in you, the more the Holy Spirit can communicate to you. Because it was the Holy Spirit who really authored the book. He was the one who inspired the holy men of God to write what God was saying. Because these words are spirit and life. And we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. I don't know about you, but I get really excited about that. That makes me want to take off and run and grow. To be spiritually blessed, you know, that means you have access to everything. You are saved. You are justified. You are redeemed. You are healed. That's a spiritual blessing. Because everything that Christ did was a spiritual work. So we've got to walk around with the attitude that we're blessed. He said, you're blessed, not stressed. He said, you're blessed. Say, I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:32 tells us how God, who did not withhold his only son, but gave his only son, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Our God is a giver. He wants to give you good things, but the things that you need, the things that you want, they're in heavenly places. And you've got to access heaven's place in order to get them into the material realm. Amen? And you do that by faith, and you do that by the Spirit of God, and you do that through the Word of God. You access the blessings and the benefits, and you bring them down to where you are. Right here. Hallelujah. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. And you know what? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to be able to know when something is spiritual and when something is not. I mean, we read last week, 1 Corinthians 3, where Paul, he couldn't teach certain things to the Corinthians because they were carnal and they weren't spiritual. Obviously, he was able to recognize qualities and traits that reflected their nature. The more that they spent time in, you know, a non-spiritual person is going to get a minimum of what God wants them to have. But Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means wise. How many know that when you come into Christ Jesus, you get access to his wisdom? You get access to his knowledge. And when Christ Jesus comes into your life, it will change your life. Well, how many has been changed by Jesus Christ? Amen. You guys are living testimonies, you're living epistles of what God does. Walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let me tell you something, we're living in some evil days. And if there was ever a time to redeem the time, aren't you glad that we can redeem time? How do you redeem time? You understand what God's will is. When you understand what God's will is, he makes up the difference of things that we've missed. He said, redeeming the time because the days of evil, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How many understand what the will of the Lord is for your life? How many could gain some understanding of what the will of the Lord is? Listen, I've got good news for you. If you don't understand what the will of the Lord is, just hang in there. Just keep on coming. Just keep on doing what you know to do. Just keep on pressing in. And I guarantee you, God is faithful. He will show you what his will is. He will show you what he wants. He burns with desire for us to grasp what his will is. And it may not come today, it may not come tomorrow, but if you're faithful, he'll meet you where you are. And you will know exactly what God's will is for your life. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. God doesn't want us to be drunk with wine. There were times in my life where I was drunk with wine. I know what it does. It distorts your ability to think correctly. It hinders your ability to act and respond properly. But there's an alternative. We don't have to be drunk with wine, but he said something. We can be filled with the Spirit of God. And sometimes being filled with the Spirit of God is like being drunk. A person who is filled with the Spirit at times can appear to the world like they're drunk, like they're intoxicated. Like the day of Pentecost, they thought everybody was drunk. But Peter said, this is only 9 o'clock in the morning. They're not drunk as you suppose, he said, but they are filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. So a spiritual person is filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. Jesus told his disciples, the Holy Spirit is with you and he shall be in you. A spiritual person has the Holy Spirit on the inside. He said, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How do you be filled with the Spirit? Speaking to yourselves. In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Aren't you glad that we can be filled with the Holy Spirit? How are you going to be filled? You're going to have to do some speaking. You're going to have to do some singing. Who knows? You might even do some dancing. You don't know how you're going to act unless you let the Holy Spirit have his way. Did David dance? We know the story of David. The ark was lost to the Philistines. And David had a desire to bring the ark back because David was a worshiper. And at that time, the ark represented the presence of God. And you know, it's hard to worship in a place where the presence of God isn't. It's like dry, dead. And so, the Philistines didn't want the ark. Because they put the ark in front of their God and they walked into the temple and the God was on his face. The next day his arms and head was cut off and they said, we don't want this thing here. How many know that, a spiritual person knows how to work with the presence of God? They don't work against it. So if you're working against the Holy Spirit, I feel sorry for you. So David, he did it the religious way first. He got all this pomp and circumstance to bring the ark back to Jerusalem. And they put the ark on a new cart, but how many know how are you supposed to carry the ark? The priests, the Kohathites were the only people who were to carry the ark. They were to carry it on their shoulders. That's what God's word said. First of all, David was violating the word of God because he was bringing in the ark in a way it should have never been handled on a new cart. He was having all the pomp and circumstance because he wanted people to look at him. I'm bringing back the ark. I'm bringing back the ark. Sometimes we do that with God. We want people to look at us. But you know what? Point them to Jesus. And as the ark was making its way to Jerusalem on the new cart, which was a violation of God's word, the ark began to fall. And Uzzah stuck out his hand to try to keep the ark from falling, and he got zapped by God because God's word once again said, no one shall touch the ark under no circumstance. Well, they put the ark at Obed-Edom's house. And I want you to notice that while the ark was at Obed-Edom's house for 3 months, Obed-Edom was blessed. Because I discovered that Obed-Edom was a worshiper of God. Obed-Edom knew how to handle the presence of God. He knew how to honor God in God's presence. And when you know how to honor God's presence, it'll be welcome in your home. And your home will be blessed for it. And after some repentance, how many know that when you miss God, you need to repent? Did you know that a spiritual person repents? Is the word of God good for correction and for reproof? Then as a spiritual person, we should allow the word of God to correct us. You know, two good measures of whether or not a person is spiritual is their love walk and how well they respond to correction. That will determine whether or not they're spiritual or not. A non-spiritual person, when they're corrected, they get offended and they leave, or they cop an attitude. But a spiritual person, when they're corrected, they will repent and change. When David was corrected of his sin, what happened? He changed. I don't even know why I'm on all this stuff today. But God knows. Because you know what? God wants to bring his presence here in Palmyra. He's looking for a group of spiritual people who know how to handle his presence, who know how to work with his presence, so that he can do the spiritual work that needs to be done in our lives. He's looking for a group of spiritual people who are on fire for him, who hunger and thirst after righteousness, that he can do something with. Finally, David began to bring the ark the way it should have been brought in, on the shoulders of the Kohathites. And every so often he would stop, he would make a sacrifice, he would offer an offering, and he would praise God, because he didn't want to mess anything up. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God came on David. And anybody know what he did? He began to jump up and spin about wildly. See, when the Spirit of God comes on, see, we don't have to have the Spirit of God come on us. He comes up from within us. He's like, with inside each one of us is an Old Faithful. You know, Old Faithful is at Yellowstone Park, and Old Faithful, every so often it spews water up into the sky. We got an Old Faithful on the inside of us called the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, all those who are thirsty, come to me and drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. God wants to flow rivers of living water out of your belly. But you got to come and drink. Oh, there will be people who don't drink. There will be people who resist the Holy Spirit. I don't care about the people who resist it. I'm concerned about the people who are open to it. Amen? And David began to jump up and to spin about wildly because the Spirit of God came into place. When the presence of God is honored, the Spirit of God can move and things can happen. And he was jumping and leaping and spinning about. That was something that a king, can you imagine the king doing that? Now, he was wearing an ephod. An ephod is like a robe. You know, when you jump up in a robe, the robe goes up, doesn't it? Well, His wife looked from the window. And his wife wasn't a spiritual person because all of a sudden she became very critical of his worship. She became very critical of how he was worshiping God, of how the Spirit of God was moving on him. And she told the king when he got back up to the room, she said, I'm just paraphrasing. She said, oh, David, you're a king. You're undignified. And I like David's response. He said, I'll be more undignified than this. There are times when the Holy Spirit will move in a place and he'll just put your dignification out the window. He'll mess you up. Because that's the only way that he can work on you. But a spiritual person is filled with the Spirit, and it starts by you speaking to yourselves. You know, when I speak in the Spirit, I'm speaking, but I'm speaking to God. That's a way of being filled with the Holy Spirit. When I speak the Psalms, when I speak the Word of God, it's a way of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad he gave you options? Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Well, what's a spiritual song? A spiritual song is a song, it's like prophecy. It's a song that God gives you in the moment. You know, there was a man by the name of Keith Moore. He pastors two churches now, one in Branson and one in Florida, Branson, Missouri and Florida. And he worked with Brother Hagin. And Keith played the piano. And every time Brother Hagin would speak, the Holy Spirit would give Keith a song about what the preaching was about. And he would get like a chorus, and they would start to play and start to sing. Then the band would come in because the band could both read music and play by ear. And I remember a time we were at a meeting, and Keith got a song about having the joy of the Lord. He said, I will be glad in the Lord. And he started singing it, and the song went on for 45 minutes, but the place erupted. There was a mighty move of the Holy Ghost, and people were dancing, and people were experiencing God's presence, and people were joyful. I'll tell you what, when you're full of the Spirit, you're going to have joy. Don't tell me you're full of the Spirit when you got an old frown on your face. That just doesn't compute. I mean, God is not a guy who sits up there like this. He's not Clint Eastwood saying, go ahead, make my day. Only a God who's full of joy would come and become a man and walk among us. But let's look at this a little bit more. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. Is that a suggestion? It's a command. If you're not full of the Spirit, God wants you to be. If you're not full of the Spirit, you're missing out on something. God wants you to be full, so full that you overflow, that if you're just shaking up a little bit, you spill out everywhere. You know, when you got a glass that's so full and you're trying to walk with it, you got to be really careful so it doesn't spill, because any slightest movement, it's so full that any slightest movement, it splashes out everywhere. God wants to splash on some people today. A spiritual person is filled with the Spirit. A spiritual person speaks. Did you know that your tongue is similar to a bucket in a well? And the more you move your tongue, the more water you get down and bring up. All right? And the more you speak, it gets faster and faster and faster. And pretty soon, you know, it's like priming a pump. You know, sometimes when you prime, on the olden days, they had to prime the pump because there was air in the system. Right? And it took a few pumps to get water. But after a few pumps, all of a sudden you hear that water gurgling up. And all of a sudden, after that pump, then water would begin to flow out. Listen, sometimes it might just require a few pumps. But after a few pumps, you're going to get going. After a few pumps, the generator will kick on. You know, it's like you could listen to your car radio with the car battery, but when you turn your car on, you've got an alternator. You've got a generator that continues to supply power to that car, and you can listen to the radio as long as that engine is running, and it doesn't let loose your battery one bit because you got a generator. Each one of us have been equipped with a power generator on the inside of us called the Holy Spirit. And a spiritual person yields to the Holy Spirit. That's why some people get more than others. It all depends on how yielded you are. It all depends on how hungry you are. It all depends. Listen, some little petite person can go to a dinner and I can show up. Who's going to get more? Because I'm more hungry. You know, there were times when people who loved to cook, they loved inviting me over because they love to cook and I love to eat. And it's a good match, amen? So how hungry are you for God? How hungry are you for spiritual things? Your hunger will determine the level of by which you're filled. Little hunger, you'll get a little bit. A lot of hunger, you'll get a lot. The more hungry you are, the more you get. So God wants you filled. He wants you stuffed. He wants you satisfied. He wants you to loosen your spiritual belt because you've gotten so full, you've gotten so much that you can't move anymore. That's how filled God wants you to be. I mean, look at the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Why do sheep lie down? Because they're so full they can't move. They're so full, they've eaten so much grass that all they can do is just lie there. And it was God who put them in the green pasture. It was God who put them in that place. He put them in that place and all they did was eat and eat and eat. Whoo, I'm a little sheep. I can't eat anymore. Whoo, I'm so full. That was just an illustration of the 23rd Psalm. Be filled. God wants us filled today. A spiritual person is not empty. A carnal person is empty. And unless you change from being carnal to spiritual, you will always be empty. A carnal person is not blessed. A carnal person does not receive the goodness of God. A carnal person is limited in what God can do for them and what God can give them. But a spiritual person keeps coming back. They keep coming for more and more. Because a spiritual person has a desire and a hunger for the things of God. And when a spiritual person encounters the things of God, they say, I just can't get enough. I got to have more. I got to have more. I got to have more. God's got more for you today. How many want more? Well, what are you going to do to have more? You going to sit in your seats and be quiet? Or are you going to come up here and speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and watch what God does? What did they do on the day of Pentecost when they were filled? They all spoke with tongues. Tongues is the initial evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. If you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, today is your day. You're going to be filled. And to those who have been filled, you can get a refilling. You can get a refilling. Because what you've been filled with, you empty it out, you got to come back for more. So if you're here today and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, because a spiritual person is filled. You're like a, it's like a jelly donut that you know, one bite and you get jelly all over your face. It's got so much jelly in it that when you pick up that donut, it's heavy. Because it's like you pick it up and it's like, oh, now that's a jelly donut. That's how filled God wants you to be. He wants you to be so full of God, so full of joy, so full of peace, so full of fire, so full of desire that he can just work in you and just do what he wants to do in you in the name of Jesus. Now, today's a filling day. If you want to be filled with God, if God is speaking to your heart, and the Holy Spirit right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare that you will take these words and you would convict the hearts of those who hear, Father. And if there be anyone who's not filled today, or anybody who wants to be refilled today, in the name of Jesus, today is your day. So you come and get what you need from God. Amen? Come and be filled. See, a spiritual person's not afraid. They're not afraid. When God moves, they just want to get in. See, some of them are already, they're already starting to drink. And you know what's going to happen when you start to drink? One drink leads to another drink, which leads to another drink, and then you start to get drunk.